Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. I hope you are enjoying the Investor Mama Podcast. I've had a ton of fun releasing episodes, and I would really love your feedback and input. Any suggestions, any recommendations, tips for improving the show, any type of content you like or don't like, or you want me to talk more of, or if there's a specific guest you want me to bring on, please let me know. I really want to hear from you. Go to investormama.com/connect. You can find my Instagram. You can join the Facebook group. You can email me directly at jen@investormama.com. Please reach out. Let me know what you think of the show. Last week's episode, I interviewed Grant Newell. He was actually the first guy I brought on the show. This week and the next 2 weeks are also men. I'd love your feedback on what you think about bringing guys on the show. And this week, I have the pleasure of interviewing Miha Matlevsky. Miha is the founder of The Fail Coach, and he joins us all the way from the other side of the world, from Slovenia. Listen, wait till you hear this episode. I mean, Miha literally went from doing a multi-million dollar real estate deal in his 20s to going $5 million into personal debt. He hit rock bottom. I mean, literally rock bottom. You don't get any lower that point than where he was at. Imagine being $5 million in personal debt and having creditors at your door calling you all the time. That has to be so scary. And he shares his journey from almost suicide to now he's a thriving coach and works with a ton of mompreneurs. And in this episode, Miha also talks about foundations for a sustainable and profitable business. He gives some great examples. He provides a lot of free resources and free content that he's openly and willingly shared, that I will put all of that information in show notes so you can get access to all of his resources as well. I'm super excited for you to hear this episode. Without further ado, Miha, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hi, Jen. It's a pleasure to be here. Everything dandy on this side of the ocean. So I hope everything is fine with you as well.
I'm very excited to jump into your money story. And on today's episode, we're going to focus on how to help moms who are interested in starting their own business with some of the basic fundamentals. But before we even jump into anything, I have to ask you, how did you get the name, The Fail Coach?
Well, you know how you get names. They come from experience. And I mean, yes, I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't so funny when those things were happening to me. I've been an entrepreneur for the past 23 years, started when I was 18, dropped out of high school, and I've created some pretty amazing companies. But because I didn't lay down any foundations when that crisis back in 2008 for you guys, and then it took a little to come to Europe. So for us, it was at the end of 2009. My businesses were like the first house from the story of the Three Little Pigs, made out of straws without any foundations. And so, yeah, it was just a domino effect. One of them was in real estate. All others were co-signers of the bank loan. I personally was co-signing a lot of the things, which I wouldn't do now in the same way. And then just one call from the bank, December 7, 2009, Monday. And the next day, everything was gone. And I ended up being $5 million in personal debt. I got divorced. I lost all my friends. Literally, I ended up with nothing. And so depression, anxiety, stress, slowly that darkness starts creeping into you. You don't see any light, any tunnel. You start asking yourself, is it even worth going on? Like, what's the point? You come closer to a suicide, very close at one point. I was probably seconds away from it when I had a very rough conversation with myself, and I used some pretty juicy language, which I don't want to repeat right now on your podcast, but it was like I was literally hanging like half over the balcony already on the other side, just holding myself with one hand. And I had this dialogue with myself, or more a yelling thing. You made all those mistakes. You did this, you did that. And hearing myself say that word, you, was really what helped me, because I realized that I have to stop blaming everything and everybody else for my bad decisions, for my bad choices, for things I did. And it was really the first time I really took any ownership of not just the good things, but also the bad things. But by doing that, I realized that if I change a whole lot, I can do even better. And so I climbed back in, and this whole long journey of personal development, business development started. And then in 2014, 3.5 years later, I started a startup. I was able to take all this new knowledge and scale that startup from zero to multiple 8 figures a month in less than a year, and then to multiple 9 figures next year. And then I sold it to a Fortune 100 company, and I was able to exit straight away because of the systems and foundations and processes and all of that in place. And then I just started going around, and wherever I went, I looked up what meetups are happening, because going to a bar and talking about the weather and the politics sounded way too boring. And I realized that I love being surrounded with entrepreneurs and so on. And then I saw how much better it feels when you help others than when you do something for yourself. And I just ended up becoming a coach. And then through the whole coaching experience, I worked so far with over 3,500 entrepreneurs. Every new client, every new interaction, I was learning more and more about who I really love helping the most. And I mean, I'm not a father yet, per se, so I don't have the children, but I have 4 dogs. And whoever knows me in person, they will all tell you that I'm the craziest mom they ever met, the way I take care of them. And so we have this strong why, this crazy, insane why, which is our family. And that's something that I love about mompreneurs. And you guys are used to doing stuff. And even if it doesn't feel like, oh, this is something I'm super happy about, you still do it because that you have to do it. And I mean, once you establish that trust where they really trust you, that you can guide them from where they are to where they want to be, I mean, they are the easiest and the best to work with. I mean, there's nothing like mompreneurs. I love them to death, because with us guys, we are constantly looking how to cut corners, even when we shouldn't. And our ego often, I mean, I got rid of all of that through that failure of mine. That failure really taught me how to become humble, how to become grateful, how to do things that I don't necessarily want to do, but I have to do. So a way I can super relate to how mompreneurs work. And for me, yes, it's quite hard when I have to work with men, or harder to get them things done. When I work with mompreneurs, we get insane, crazy results so fast that it's unbelievable.
Well, first off, thank you for sharing your story. It is incredibly powerful. And before even continuing on, first of all, you said a lot that I really would like to unpack. Not to get too into the weeds, but how did you get into $5 million of debt?
It's not that hard. I mean, I was greedy at that time. So I was like this typical alpha male, completely obsessed with more and more and more material stuff and all of that, living all the wrong values and the wrong way of life. I completely lost myself. I was 20-something, and I had all that money and everything. I was flying so high. I lost any reality. And so one of my businesses, because I started many of them, and at that time, I thought how great I am. Now, looking back at that time, I was just riding the wave of good economy. But so that time, I was an investor through one of my businesses in a huge real estate project. Roughly, I think it was around $60 million. And everything was tied to that. And so when I was halfway to building that thing when the crisis came, and then the bank redid calculations, and we figured out that I would build for more than I would be able to sell for, and the bank just wanted out. And then I don't know if you guys have something like that in the US, but in Europe, when you sign an agreement with a bank, you can pre-authorize them, and not just for that company, but for everybody who is co-signing, that they can just take things away from you if you don't pay when they call you to pay back the loan. And so they just took everything away. And I had so much things co-signed by myself in my other companies, because in Europe, it's quite familiar thing that when you make a contract that you co-sign it personally as well. And so when everybody took everything that they could from my companies and they went bankrupt, then they go after you. And that's how I landed $5 million in personal debt.
Wow. And if you wouldn't mind, I would really love for you to just talk about that moment where you were on the balcony a little bit more, because I'm sure there are some moms out there who are listening who may feel like they're in that position. And anything you could say to them who may be in crazy debt, who may be lost or feel helpless, or all those feelings that you described, the depression and loneliness and failure, essentially, if you could give any advice or what kind of went through your head at that time that just might help somebody else out there listening.
Sure. I gave you like the short story before, because it can be a pretty long story. And I know that we don't have 3 days to talk about it. So
But if you could give like one or two little nuggets, because I'm sure it could be.
Absolutely. That's why I gave you the short one, so that you can ask the things that you believe are the most valuable to your audience. Well, maybe I can start a little bit prior to that balcony. Like when everything crushed on me, I didn't really realize that at that moment, oh, everything is gone. I was in that survival mode, I would say. Like, oh, I can find a way, I can find a new contract, I can do something. But as the weeks went by, the phone calls from people and companies that I owed money to became more, so they weren't like, oh, you're just checking up because you're a bit late on payment, and then it was, we're gonna sue you. And then it came down to some pretty personal threats. And the more this was happening, the more I was losing that faith that I can solve it. And at one point, it really felt like I used all the good part of my life, and from now on, this is it. This is the new reality. It's just darkness. It's going from day to day, from week to week. You feel like you are the only one in the world to whom this is happening. You go through your head constantly. Depression comes often from overthinking the past, and anxiety often comes from either overthinking the future or not being able to see any future. And so both of those things are mixing in your head. I felt like my head was like a nuclear reactor that was just waiting to burst open. When I was at home, which was most of the time, I was just lying on the couch, curled up like in that baby fetus position, unable to do anything. I had no motivation, no nothing. I was unable to move, and all I wanted was to go out a little bit, out of my head. That feeling in your head when nothing is happening around you, but that head is racing and you just want to silence it. And I was unable to silence it. But then when I would, on rare occasions, go out and have a coffee with a friend, I was unable to be present at that conversation. I was stomping with my leg and just in my head again. And I was like, gosh, just drink that coffee. I need to go out of here. And it's a very dark place, because you can't find that peace and quiet. I remember, because on a Friday afternoon, the phone calls would stop until Monday morning, and you would think happy thoughts, well, the weekend is here. But I was so obsessed with trying to prolong the weekend that I was intentionally staying up without going to sleep for as long as I could, because when you go to sleep, bam, 8 hours are around. And I wanted to just stay awake for the whole 48 hours to have the feeling that 4 days have passed and not just two. And when I was awake, I was again in my head, and it was all the time, that unbearable craziness going in that head, it starts driving you to not so nice places and thinking about not so nice things. And yeah, it was awful. And that's why suddenly you start Googling how to commit a suicide, what's the easiest way to commit a suicide and stuff like that. And this will probably not sound what most people who are there want to hear, but the best way to fight when that the stuff is happening is actually to eliminate the emotions, because it's those emotions, anger, disappointment, shame, you name it, fear, that cloud your vision. And it's actually logic, because if I would use logic and look back at the processes that I was doing and how I was doing and what I was doing, it would be very easy for me to see why I ended up where I was. But at that point, I was unable to do that. And I was pushing everybody away from me, so I wouldn't let anybody get close to me. That's why I got divorced and as well. But you are just entrenched in those emotions. And that's the bad thing. That's the bad thing when it comes to failure, because emotions cloud your vision. And it's really not that. And then you start saying to yourself, like, why God? Why me? What bad thing did I did? I mean, you didn't do anything bad. You were just doing wrong steps, wrong action that was not aligned. If I look back now, well, I mean, who in their right mind would go and sign a contract for a $60 million project without advising a legal and tax advisory team? I mean, no sense.
Yeah, that's
person.
Pretty. I was going to say, if you were in your mid-20s or late-20s to do a $60 million deal, that's pretty ballsy. Yeah. To say it how it is, like, to do something like that.
Yeah.
Usually you start out with maybe you purchase a duplex or a single or maybe even a 6-8 unit, but to go to a $60 million deal without any background or mentors.
Jen, I never even built a dog house prior to that thing. The thing was that because things are going so well with other businesses, but again, I was riding the good wave. It was just that I wasn't seeing it from that perspective. I thought that I'm that amazing and I'm that great. So how can a lawyer advise me better than what I can do? And it was those things. I mean, who in their right mind would do something like that? I mean, that's crazy. And I would pay maybe, I don't know, 5, 10, 15K for a really amazing team of advisors, which was nothing compared to the amount of the project. But yeah, I was just skipping simple things like that. And little by little, they started mounting to everything crushing down on me. I mean, now I would do everything, of course, completely different. And like I said, then later on with my latest startup, I really did everything different. And I think the biggest achievement, well, one was repaying my past debts, like all of them. And even with all the interest and everything, which accumulated to almost 7 million by that time. But the second thing was really to prove to myself that I really learned the lessons.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing this story, because you did it. You overcame it and you figured out a way. And like you just said, you paid off all your debts, you turned it around. And that story on the balcony could have ended very differently. I can't imagine what went through your head in those exact moments, but very grateful that you didn't make a mistake that would not be have a chance to turn around. And I think that's important for listeners. If anyone ever is feeling like that, obviously there is help out there and I strongly encourage you to seek it. But knowing that there is a way to turn around and you're living proof that it can happen.
I mean, the best thing is just find somebody you can talk to, whether that's somebody who you don't know, even just find somebody online who you've never met. Just start letting it out. The way I experienced all of that was how that constipation gives you that funny feeling around stomach, like a blockage. The same thing was happening to me with this whole emotions and energy and negativity and the nuclear reaction. It was just that there wasn't a thing where I could just go to the pharmacy and buy that magnesium salt or whatever it is, and bam, you're done with it. But actually the healing really started when I was saying all those things out loud there on the balcony. And I was just so disappointed. That was the lowest point of my life. It was all of that crushing on me. And I just started yelling at myself. But if I wouldn't do that, I would just jump. Because I was always the dreamer, but I just stopped seeing any light. It was just really this complete darkness. I remember a friend of mine called me
at one point and asked me, I'm having my birthday party in 2 weeks and I would love for you to come, but because of the reservation, I need to know. And I opened my mouth, but yes, I wanted to say yes, but I wasn't physically able to say anything because my mind was saying, are you stupid? You might not even be alive tomorrow. So just simple things like that. And they pile up one on top of another. I was always enjoying being surrounded with people. I was always very outgoing, very sociable. And now I was all alone. I remember walking to a nearby store and I saw this guy who was begging for some change. And I was thinking in my head, oh my God, you are at least 5 million richer right now than I am. And just things like that. And it's this little things that starts piling and piling and piling. And the whole idea of suicide for me was, okay, I'll jump. It might hurt for a millisecond or a second or whatever. And then it's gone. Then it's that silence. And that's what I was so, so craving for, to have some silence in my head. And then when I didn't jump, when I had the aha moment, I realized that it was all me, nobody else, and that I can turn that around. And there was this little ray of light on the other side of a huge long tunnel. When I climbed back in, I took charge of my life. I went back into the driver's seat. The first thing in the morning, I called everybody who was usually calling me before they called me. And I was like, if you want your money, then leave me alone. I'll call you once a month, give you an update, but leave me alone because I need my peace and quiet if I want to do something. And if you would rather see me dead, then let's end it right away. Because it's either this or that. There's no middle path. There is no way where you still keep calling me every freaking day and I do something because I can't. And I wasn't bluffing. I was completely sincere. I was ready to end it all in that moment. And they all agreed. They all said, okay, we'll give you the space. Go do your thing. And the more I was working on myself, the more I was working on my development, the more I was changing my habits and other things, the more motivated I was, the more passionate I was, the more that Miha that I knew from my childhood, who is always questioning, asking, curious, the dreamer, wants to change the world. And the thing was, in my 20s, I lost myself because of all the money. And it's so easy in your 20s to just fly out and be on the cloud number 9 and just flying high and being this big shot person. It's not easy to ground yourself when you're in your 20s and all crazy. And so, yeah, it was very hard and the journey wasn't an easy one.
But you figured it out.
The more I was making the steps, the more I was sure that, and I had this sense in me that everything will be okay. But I really needed a long journey. And even now I understand why. Because if the journey would be a short one, let's say I would just lose, I don't know, 100K. For me, 100K at that time, that was, you know, like nothing. I was carrying that in my pants sometimes. And I wouldn't learn the lesson. I really needed a hard lesson because of who I became in my 20s. And I lost myself. I became somebody that wasn't the real me. Basically, one of the first things that I had to do after that balcony was really rebuild myself, really figure out who I am. What do I want? What do I stand for? What do I believe in? And so on. What are my values? And the thing is that now I'm nowhere near those numbers when it comes to money. I'm well off, but nowhere near. But I feel like a gazillionaire. My heart is so filled. I'm doing what I love the most in the world. I'm helping people. I'm living aligned with who I am, what I believe. Every freaking day is a happy journey.
I mean, just the complete 180. And I'd like to transition a little bit now into what you've built now and to actually be able to help some of our moms who are interested in starting a business, because you've gone from the lowest point possible and you completely changed your life around. You figured out a way to get out. So if someone out there is listening and maybe you're not in as much debt, but you're in enough debt where you feel that same kind of burden or that overwhelmingness, just to know, one, you can get out of it, and two, not only get out of it, but thrive. If you could help share just some of what you would recommend to moms too, who maybe they didn't experience such a low, but they want to build the business, they're excited about their future, they're ready to take those steps forward. Talk to me about what they could do. What are some of those foundations and some frameworks? I'd love to hear your insight.
Yeah. So one of the first thing is any entrepreneur who tells you that you can go from one step to another in your entrepreneurial journey without any failures, mishaps, roadblocks, whatever you want to call that, is lying to you. There is no such thing as not failing in the process of building your business and achieving success. There is no such thing. And so you will fail a lot more than you will succeed, but those successes will make up for all the failures and add some. So it's very, very important that you develop healthy relationship with failure. And when I say healthy relationship with failure, I mean you must not let emotions get you down. Focus on the process. Let's say, I don't know, let's take something super simple. Let's say I go on Facebook, I post something, and I don't get the engagement that I would want. Nobody comments, likes, whatever, nothing. Look at the process. Did you pick the right subject? Did you post at a time when your community is online? Do you have the right community? So those are all the steps that you, like, even for a simple thing, like a Facebook post, you go through these steps, you want it or not. I mean, if you don't go through them, then you might post something that nobody will engage with. So it's always the process that you have to focus on. And so that's one thing, is develop healthy relationship with failure. The second thing is the foundation is everything. You won't build a house without first making a blueprint, or in business development plan, and then laying down foundation, and then you can build up. You can't just start building at first floor and going up. It won't hold. What are some of the foundations? Processes, KPIs, benchmarking, measuring your processes, clear brand story, who you are, what you're doing, what do you stand for, company culture when you start hiring, a good hiring process, and so on. Those are some of the foundations. But then when it comes to building a business, two things are super key. So the first thing is a lot of entrepreneurs, they start making a logo and things like that. The first thing that you need is a validated product market fit. Without that, you don't have anything. And what do I mean by product market fit? Product market fit is triangulation of three things that need to come together. An audience that will buy from you, a product that solves something or brings them something or bridges a gap between a struggle and a desire, and a business model that is profitable for you and your clients can afford. Without that product, and it can take you a few weeks or a few months to, because it's not a linear thing. It's not, oh, first I figured the audience, now I figured the product, now I go to the business model. There's a lot of back and forth between those three things, and you need to do that. And then validation means a few people buy from you at that full price. That's the only way how you validate. If they just tell you, oh yeah, I would totally buy that, but then they don't give you the credit card when you ask for it, you don't have a product market fit. I'll give you an example. Let's say you talk to me. I'm your ideal client. And we talk a little bit about my struggles. And I might say, oh, what? Every month when I need to travel, it takes me so much time to do the Airbnb and the airplanes and this and that. I would love if somebody would just take care of that. And you go back to your bat cave and you start creating a plan to save the world with your service. And you come up with VIP concierge service that would handle all of that for me. And you come to me back. I can say, Miha, I have the solution. I can offer you this, 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 and this. Everything will be taken care of you for just $5,000 a month. And then I might start thinking, oh, huh, 5,000? Yeah. Well, maybe it's not that big of a problem for me to spend a few hours on Airbnb and searching for plane tickets. So as if like at first I would say, yeah, I would love a service like that. But then when you ask me for my card, that might change everything. So that's the only way how you can validate your product market fit. And that's the number one reason why entrepreneurs fail, like why businesses fail, is they don't have a proven, validated product market fit. So that's the most important thing.
How would you recommend moms go about doing that? Because I know, at least for me, I would be a little bit timid about maybe asking someone for their credit card or for proposing a business idea to someone that either I know or I don't know, but then saying, okay, is this really worth? Is there any tips that you can give?
Yeah, sure, sure. I mean, one thing that I super hate is salesy approach or anything like that. So that's like, I don't do any sales. I provide people with value and I invite them if they want more and nothing else. I mean, you don't have to be Grant Cardone or something like that to make it in the business world. Those salesy technique, pushy techniques, yes, some people are using that, but you can do without that. So I know that that's a big thing for new entrepreneurs, like, oh, I will have to become like those insurance and car salesmen and so on. No, you don't have to be like that.
And for those of you who don't know, Grant Cardone is a big real estate guy. And if you're on Instagram or Facebook and you follow him, he's just very in your face type of guy.
Yes, yes. And he's always, you always need to be closing and things like that. I mean, okay, it's probably appealing to his audience and that's okay. But I mean, there are more ways to how you can go about it and how you can do it. But the first thing is, one of the foundations would be emotional intelligence. Because what I see with entrepreneurs is that they use logic when emotions are needed, and they use emotions when logic is needed. When you choose what you want to do, you should come from your heart, not from the logic. And most entrepreneurs who come to me say, Miha, what makes most sense? What will make me most money? And that's not the answer, because there are so many things that can make you money. I mean, I know a couple. He's ex-Microsoft guy, and she's really the brand behind it. He's just the CEO, COO. They're making seven figures, and she's doing this angel card readings and stuff like that. Then I know a guy, he's an older guy, he just films himself. You go and you buy a video where he sits in front of a computer, puts on the camera, takes a banana, puts it to his ears like a phone, and he would say something like, hey, 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 Jen, happy birthday from Miha. And then I get that video and I can post it on your timeline. He's making multiple six figures a year doing
just
that.
Just from that, wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane. So
there's no shortage of business ideas to actually make money.
Yes. So it's so much more important that you're coming from the heart, something that you might already be passionate. Like, I had one lady, she was actually a mompreneur. And when I asked her, what do you love? And she said, I love playing games. And what we figured out, that she's playing one game that us a bit older men are like to play on our iPads, but we don't want to go through all the hustle of going from level 1 to level 20 and things like that. And she created a mini course that she's selling for, I think, like $50, but she's making 15 to 20K a month, because now a lot of those men are also asking her for one-on-one coaching on some other games.
Video gaming.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? I mean, I want to play sometimes. I don't want to play like a 20-year-old and spend all my day. I just want to have fun. And you can't have fun at level 1. I just want to speed up through that process, get
sense.
To the fun point. And I'm willing to pay somebody to give me shortcuts, what I need to do to get there in the fastest way. So there's so many things that you can do. And we are so much limiting ourselves to only what seems logical. I'm so sorry that I never screenshotted that, but at one conference I met a lady who loves picking mushrooms, and she showed me she's charging $10 for a monthly membership in her Facebook group. I can't find her, for the love of God. And
I hope she's still around, like, that she's doing this.
Yeah, and what she does, she live streams herself and her dogs and her kids going out into the woods and picking mushrooms. And there's 1,000+ people. It was 1,000+ at that time, paying $10 a month to watch her live stream picking mushrooms and chatting with kids and dogs and so on. I mean, people are doing such crazy stuff.
Well, it's awesome to hear those stories, because it's so inspiring and so out of the box that you really can create a business out of anything.
Yes.
You just have to go for it.
Literally anything. So if you are about to create something, create something that's close to your heart, because it's so much easier to overcome the little struggles on the way when you're creating that. And then the second thing, or the most important thing, is your audience. Maybe you already have a certain audience, maybe you don't. If you don't, you'll have to build it. I mean, at the end of the day, whether you're in B2C, B2B, or whatever type of business,
Explain to that B2B, B2C?
Well,
no.
I mean, I don't agree with that, but those are the terms that most people use. Like, B2C is business to customer, to end customer, and B2B is business to business. So I'm a company selling to other companies. But let's be honest, I think it's all human to human, because at the end of the day, even with a huge corporation, so I was dealing in my last startup with Fortune 500 corporations all the time. It was always somebody on the other side who signed the order form. It was human to human. So you need an audience of people who have something in common. And so again, who do you naturally enjoy spending time with? Who do you naturally enjoy talking to?
And those would be the people you'd recommend as your audience.
Why would you work with people that you hate? It won't be pleasurable. If you have nothing in common, you start navigating toward people that you actually want to work with. And that's the easiest way. And then you just have to be a human being. So people tend to then go into their head and, oh, I need to make market research. Oh, I need to make this. No, just have a human conversation. The more human it is, the more you will break the barriers, because people will have a sense that you're coming from your heart. And they will tell you everything, struggles, desires, and then it's up to you to say, oh, this is something I can fix. And then you start spotting those things. And then it's easy to create a product. It's not coming from you, it's coming from them. I mean, a lot of companies start with the product first, but then they have to chase who will buy that. And it's so much harder to start business like that. I prefer starting it by first finding an audience, figuring out all the problems of that audience, and then I start filtering out, oh, this is not something I can help them with. Oh, but maybe I know somebody I can recommend. I can make some referral fee money. And on the other hand, oh, those are some of the problems that I really know how to help them with. Let's do that. And it can be a product or a service that helps them with the struggle or brings them a desire. I mean, I know it sounds super simple, and it really is. And it's really, you just have to get out of your head and stop thinking like a businessman and just be a human being. That's how you start a business.
So once you find something, an area of interest that you're really passionate about, you find an audience, you listen to them, you test, see what their needs are, you identify those needs either through a service or a product, whatever it is, then you see what you can offer, come up with some solutions, validate that they'll actually take out their credit card and pay for it.
Yes.
What's next?
Well, then you need to do other parts of business development, which is you need to start coming up with content, how you will market, how you will, what content strategy you will have, client journey, and so on. But all of that will be super easy if you do the first step, talk with your audience. Because if you really talk with them, oh, they're searching for solutions on YouTube. That's where I need to be. Okay. These are the questions that they are asking. Okay, so these are the videos that I can create for that YouTube channel and so on. So everything becomes super easy. Let your audience guide you on creating the whole business plan. And then there is one thing. If you are super new to the whole thing, if you don't have many past experience that you can leverage on and so on, it will take time. It won't be overnight. If you are more of an introvert and you just have like this intimate group of maybe 5-10 friends, well, that's not enough. You will have to push yourself a little bit out there and start meeting with people and so on. I mean, that's just what you have to do. The only way how you can speed up the process is if you have leverages and you use those leverages. And it can be a lot of different things. Of course, the easiest one is the leverage of money, but then it's leverage of your network, leverage of your network's network. So I don't know, maybe you and I are friends and I say, oh, I have, I don't know, something for new moms, a product for new moms that solves, I don't know, one big problem that new moms have. And I talk with you and you say, well, what? I have plenty of those moms in my network. I can definitely introduce you to them. And that's how I could leverage my network's network. So, but there's plenty of other leverages as well. Past experience, knowledge, things that you've overcome yourself and so on. So just figure out if there are any leverages that you can use, because those leverages will help you speed up the process.
This is really fantastic. I got to tell you, because even from a completely selfish standpoint right now, even with this podcast, I'll be very honest. I haven't really thought of a business plan or a specific service yet. A lot of my friends have come to me asking me for financial advice, and by no means am I a financial advisor lawyer or a CPA or attorney or anything like that. But my husband and I have put some good things in place, and I'm an avid reader and learner in this field. And so this podcast is created out of it because as much as I know I want to be able to provide content for our moms, that's really can help them on their own path, their own journey in a more condensed and easily manageable way. But yeah, I skipped your steps around. I didn't really test any validation. I did a little market research here and there, but it's what you would say to someone like me who finds something that they're really passionate about. They dive in and see what happens, but there's no strategical plan.
Jen, the thing is really, what's your vision? What's the big plan and how fast you want to be there? So if you want to monetize this podcast, let's say, very quickly, then you have to be very intentional of how you approach it. You need to figure out who's your target audience. You need to go out there. You need to talk with them. And then, of course, find topics that really resonate with that audience, because then they will listen, they will share, they will talk to others, and so on. And then, of course, you would try to figure out leverages, like, okay, if I have five different people who can talk on this specific topic and they're all qualified, so you don't want to compromise your values, but they're all equally or somewhat equally okay to speak on that topic, well, maybe I'll choose the person who has the biggest network, because they will share the podcast and I will leverage their network if they have the right network, of course, and things like that. So you could be very intentional on this, and then you can grow super fast your whole podcast. Now, if you have more time, if it's more like a passion project that might turn into business, you are not like, oh, I need to start making money tomorrow, then of course, take it easy and make sure that every now and then you jump on a few calls with your listeners, with people who are in your network, and see what they love, what they don't love. And eventually you'll polish it up and your content will be more and more on the spot, what they need, what they want, and so on. And then can come later. Maybe it will be, I don't know, you will have sponsors who will want to promote their products, and maybe you will figure out a course or something like that that you want to teach to your audience. Maybe you'll create a product of your own that is something that's good for them. Maybe you'll create an online shop with, I don't know, only the best products for little girls or something like that, because you'll see that your audience wants more premium products and they don't know where to get them. Or maybe one day you will start helping other podcasters or mompreneurs who want to become podcasters, but they don't know how to publish and edit and promote and do all of that. And you will say, well, what? I have a team of people who help me with that. And I can offer this as a done for you, almost like an agency. And I'll charge you, I don't know, $200 per episode. And you get everything done for you. You just record the episode and we'll do the rest. Or maybe you will start teaching mompreneurs how to start their podcast, because it's a good way to promote what they're doing. I mean, there's just a few ideas, and I'm sure if we keep talking, we'll come up with more.
And I ask that, well, yes, for a selfish reason, but also I just wanted my listeners to hear that any idea you have, I know you might be a busy mom and you might be in a hustle or bustle, but if there's something that you are interested in, there is a way to monetize it. And if you're not ready to monetize it right away, you can still move forward and figure it out later.
Yeah, maybe I can share something with your audience if they want to. So I love this kind of brainstorming. Obviously, I worked with so many people so far, and I bring all that knowledge to the table with ideas. I mean, I didn't just come up with these options of monetizing. I was already working. Quite a few of my clients were podcasters, and I know how they started monetizing in different ways. And I love giving back to the entrepreneurial community. And like I said, I especially love the mompreneurs. So every week, once, twice, three times, I open up my Zoom for free. It's not recorded. I don't even use that for my marketing or anything. It's just really me giving back. Not salesy, not nothing. They can just jump on those sessions and I will be glad to help them brainstorm. I'll ask them a few questions and then I can start throwing ideas at them if they're stuck on ideas. And even just that can spark something, because often we are just too much in our head and we don't let that inner child come out. And sometimes we just need to be a bit childish, a bit playful, and we start coming up with plenty of ideas. But of course, they can do the brainstorming as well for themselves or with their friends. But if they want, the easiest way is just type in frameworkforfreedom.me and they go into my chatbot, which is not there to do anything else, but just to announce when my next session is, because my audience is from Australia, Europe, US, and I try to mix up those Zoom sessions so that we do different time zones for different audiences. But yeah, I will be more than happy to help them with a few of theirs if they are stuck.
That is amazing. Thank you. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for sure. And it's frameworkforfreedom.me.
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much for offering that. I think there'll be a lot of people that will take you up on that, because I think the hardest part to get started, like you said, is getting out of your own head. And you may have an idea or have something that you're interested in, but one, to feel confident enough to take the steps, and then two, to feel educated or empowered enough to even know how to take those next steps. So to have a little bit of a guide or a little bit of a push, I think is extremely helpful and extremely valuable. So yeah. Thank you so much.
And I mean, sometimes it can be really simple, but yeah, we spend too much time in our heads and trying to be logical about it. But then we find so many ways why we shouldn't do something instead of why we should do it or why we should try it. And like I said, if you want to progress quickly, you can't without leverages. You just can't. If you don't have any leverages, it's impossible. It will take some time. But if you do the right steps, and this is, again, another thing that when I do help people on these brainstorming sessions, I try to keep it at, let's solve one problem with one solution, because everybody can come back to those brainstorming sessions as many times they want. It's not limited like, oh, you have one time and then you have to buy something. No, I mean, feel free to come there every week for the next 10 years. I don't care. I love helping people. And so I make it so that it's just one next step, just so that you can be focused on that one step. Because I know we live in this age of infobesity where there's so much information out there, so many steps, so many options, and that can be so overwhelming. And that's why I try to really keep it simple, one step at a time, and just handhold people through the process.
Yeah, I think this is extremely valuable. And I know we could go on chatting forever about this, but I think we're in a really good place to stop. And I'd love to bring you back on again, maybe a future time, to talk more once you have these basic foundational steps for someone who's a little bit more advanced. I feel like this is part one of a multi-series type conversation. I think you'll be extremely helpful for mompreneurs out there.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to. Like I said, for me, mompreneurs, and I often talk about this on men's podcasts as well. I mean, it's really what I strongly believe in. It's not just because you're a mompreneur. This is really, really deeply something I believe in. They have the, or you guys have the most amazing, most powerful why that anybody can have, your families. And yeah, I will do whatever I can to help and support mompreneurs on that journey to the freedom so that they can spend more time, quality time, with their families.
And that's why I wanted to bring you on today's episode, even though obviously you're not a mom, but I know that your passion and your heart is there and provide a lot of amazing content to help our moms out there. So thank you. And before we enter the lightning round, which is essentially where I ask my guests the same four questions on every episode, is there any other last minute tips or building blocks, foundations that you want to leave with my audience?
Well, I'm going to ask you, do you think that your audience struggles with being in need of some oxygen money?
Explain that a little bit.
Well, in December, a lot of entrepreneurs reached out to me with questions like, Miha, it's the holiday season, it's gift-giving season. Boy, I would really need some oxygen money right now to breathe a little bit, how I can get some money in, some cash flow in faster. And I
yes, I think that my audience would very much, I would like that too.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm sure there's always a need for that.
I remembered a technique that I was using throughout all my life, which was, I call it the leverage of trust. To me, it just came naturally and I never understood that as a technique that could be valuable to somebody. But it's really, any buying process goes know, like, trust. And it's a journey to take people from not being aware who you are to liking you and then trusting you enough to give you the credit card. Well, the only way to speed that process up is if you go where you already have the trust. So to your network or to your network's network. And because of that, I created a free pop-up Facebook group and we just kept going in that group and it's still going. It's called The Leverage of Trust. So facebook.com/group/Facebook slash the leverage of trust. And I just share there the technique and then all the techie tools, how you can create your own CRM with free tools, how you download all the data from Facebook, from LinkedIn to put in that CRM, how you do that. And the thing that most people struggle with, how to really communicate, how to reach out to people who you had some relationship with in the past, but then maybe your paths went different ways and you need to warm up the relationship again and so on. So I do a lot of live videos in there. So it's all about relationship building, network building, and trying to bring other people in who know how to build really relationships. It's not like, oh, just doing it for the business. So, and yeah, in not even 3 weeks time, a few of those people in there already made, I think it's all already around 50K US combined just by using that little technique and in a very easy way where they were really just looking for win-win situations, helping people. And it's a really nice technique if you do it right. So whoever needs any oxygen money, if they want to try it, they can jump into that group and they can already see everything that's in there in the units. And then I'm adding content all the time to just make it easier for people to do that.
Amazing. And Facebook group, The Leverage of Trust, I will also post a link to that in the show notes. I think that'll be extremely helpful. And I'm excited to jump into there. So thank you for offering that.
It's my pleasure.
Awesome. Well, Miha, I'd like to transition into our lightning round. As I said before, this is where I ask my guests the same four questions every week. Miha, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
Many years ago, the only sound investment that I ever made in that past life before failure was before Gordon Ramsay was famous. I had 3 weeks coaching on cooking. And
that was the
best experience of that part of my life and the only smart investment I ever did.
What happened with it?
Oh, it was just amazing. And I'm still an amazing chef because of that. And I love cooking. It was just surreal, and it was the time of my life. So at least one thing that I did okay with the money that I had back then.
That's great. Question number two is, who inspires you the most and why?
Who inspires me the most? Now you got me. Who inspires me the most? There's so many people who inspire me in many different ways, but maybe one person that I take a lot of knowledge from him, and I really agree with quite a lot of things, is Albert Einstein. A few years ago, I came across a quote, "Don't just be a man of success, rather be a man of value." And I think that's the only quote that stuck in my head. And every single day, there's at least one thing that I do where I bring value to others. I really live it every single day. And it's my New Year resolution, my everyday resolution. If I don't do anything else, I will do every single day something that brings value to other people.
That's really, really, I've never heard, no one said Albert Einstein yet. And he certainly has helped society as a whole. So very good answer. Well, question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read that you've loved and would recommend?
One of the best books that I've read is Five Languages of Love. And not just because of love and love relationships, but if you put in a little bit of a filter, you can use that all across any communication and interaction with other human beings, like with friends, with business partners, employees. And I actually make every company that I work with, the whole company, read that book and then actually apply it. Because A, you get to understand yourself, who you are, what you stand for, how you understand things, what are your languages of love or being appreciated and so on. And then you also understand how to communicate that with others, how to get how others understand, and then you can actually be a human being. Because often we do to others what we want others to do to us, but that might not be what they need. And they're doing the same to us. And a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding comes from that. So that's one of the books that really affected my life a lot. And the second one is, well, I'm not sure if I can say that on your podcast, but it's F It. And it's European or Western take on Zen Buddhism. I love that book. An English guy wrote it. He actually has now in Italy, like F it retreats. And it's like how to let go, how you say like that F it and you let go. And when you let go, magic happens, whether that's in our relationships, we want the relationship to function. But the reality is the more we let go, the better we allow that relationship to be. And so this book has a really interesting Western take on a bit more Buddhism.
Sounds interesting. It sounds like a really good read. Thank you for sharing. I'll have to check that out. And the last question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their financial independence journey?
Write it down. Be mindful. Write it down. Be mindful about how you manage your money. Maybe create a few different bank accounts and split things and make some part of the money for fun and so on. Often, it's not the big things that we buy usually that get us in debt. It's all those little things that we don't even notice. $5 here, $10 here, $20 here, but they accumulate to a lot. And if you just make this habit, before you spend something, you put it in the notebook. It will make you really rethink whether you really need to make that spend.
I love that idea. It puts some thought behind and value behind what you're purchasing for your next whatever it is that you want to get. Because I know sometimes impulse shopping is just so easy. So I really like that.
When you have to put it on a piece of paper, it gets real. And then you're like, oh, should I really do this? Maybe not. Maybe it's not the right time. If nothing else, just make a habit that you put in before you do anything. And just keep track. You can turn your finances around super, super quickly.
Awesome. Well, Miha, thank you so much for coming on today's episode and providing back. Your story is just so inspiring and inspirational and providing real content and context for mompreneurs out there who want to get started, don't know where, don't know how, and for providing your services. How can my audience connect with you further?
Super easy. Go to Google, type in Fail Coach. I'm still the only one. So they will find a lot of me everywhere, and then whatever is their preferred social media network or whatever. The best way is just to come to the brainstorming session. That's the best way. They get to meet me as in person as possible, and they will get applicable advice to exactly what they need and not some general PDF that is written for general public. So actionable advice for whatever is bothering or they're struggling with in the current moment.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much for your generous content and willingness to help others.
Well, it was a huge pleasure being with you here on the show. Thank you for having me. Thanks for inviting me. It was a real, real pleasure.
Take care, Miha.
Take care.
All right, that wraps up another amazing Investor Mama episode. I hope you got a lot of value out of it. And just hearing Miha's story, I hope it inspires you to know that if he can do it, to go from literally $5 million in personal debt on the verge of suicide all the way now to a passionate, thriving mompreneur coach who loves what he does, who's passionate about his work and is having a wonderful impact on the world, which is just amazing. And also, Miha provides a lot of great free content, a lot of great free resources. I put a link to a lot of his stuff in the show notes. One last thing. I know many of you or someone you know has lost their job recently and is looking for maybe to switch careers or looking for, especially if you're a stay-at-home, but want to create extra income. My friend Jonathan Mendonza from Choose the Five put together a phenomenal 5-day challenge to help you learn all about how to make money with Salesforce. It is phenomenal. It doesn't matter what your level of degrees are, your college education, your background, anyone can do this. Just take the challenge. It's completely free. And people who are actually getting certified in Salesforce are coming out making 60K plus, like right out of the gates. It's phenomenal. So definitely go check it out. You can go to investormama.com/make money. That's investormama.com/make money. This is Investor Mama. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.